Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 54 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. Okay, today on the podcast, I'm going to rattle off a whole bunch of updates and stuff that I need you guys to know. The reason for that is we've been working ourselves to death over here. We've got a lot of other campaigns and projects completed, actually, in the last few weeks. So that feels great. And you're going to be seeing a lot of those coming out very soon. But I also have to travel tomorrow and for 7 days straight, actually, for the CCFR. So I don't have a lot of time, but I had so much to tell you guys that I had to do a podcast. So long story long, I'm just going to rattle all this stuff off straight and then I'm going to end it. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we did have a podcast this week. Other than that, I wouldn't have had time to do it for 2 weeks from today. All right. So first thing I want to talk about real quick is you guys have heard about our national education campaign, the biggest project we've ever done, the biggest project any gun group has ever done in Canadian history. It's a lot of big talk. I'm talking it up. The people that now know, I've had to divulge the program to a few people and do the full presentation and stuff. And the people that have seen it are like, wow, that's a big program. And I'm like, oh yeah, it is. And I know that I've been really, really tight with the details and that's going to continue. But what I do have for you today is the date when it's going to be released. And that date is March 18th. So it's about 2 months from now. And what we're going to do is I will be in Toronto at the Toronto Sportsman Show on March 18th. And that's when we're going to release the big news about our public, our national education campaign. So stay tuned for more updates about what that launch will look like. There'll be a lot of interesting elements to the launch of that thing. And when, like I've said before, when you guys see what that is, you're going to be like, wow, it's really something. Anyway, next thing I want to talk about real quick is petition, e-petition 2341. So as you guys know, this is Glenn Motz's petition. I looked today, it is at 86,456 signatures. We need that at 140,000. Now, 86,000 is great. It probably lines up to, like, I don't know, fifth of all time or whatever. But I just want to remind you of a couple of things. And one of the most important things is how to sign the petition. So basically how we're approaching this thing is, if you're listening to what I'm saying right now and you haven't signed it, you need to do it. Not only do you need to do it, but you need to do a couple of other things. Number one, when you sign it, you have to do it properly. I think that we're missing signatures because how the new system works, and it's designed so that the petitions don't get gamed or people don't create bots. How it's designed is you fill out all your information, you hit submit or, you know, sign or whatever that is. And then Petitions Canada, Petitions Canada will send you a confirmation email and you have to confirm it that you're a real person. Okay. So if that's going to your junk mail or you think you haven't done it, go back and sign it because you haven't completed it. So make sure that you do it properly so your signature is really on there. So I don't want you to think like, yeah, I did my part and I got two other people to sign, but I asked my two buddies and they said, no, I didn't do any confirmation email. Well, they didn't sign it. So make sure that you go back and check and make sure that that happened. The other thing is get your family members to sign it. Get your buddies to sign it. You know, have them sign it on your cell phone if need be and make sure that they go to that confirmation email and confirm that it was them that signed. Really, really important. Now, why do we want to get 140,000 signatures? If we get that, 150 would be better. Obviously, a million would be better, right? But 150 would be better because the most signed e-petition in e-petition history was somewhere around 130 or 135,000, which was electoral reform. That's what it was. Now, you know, some people, not mentioning any names, but some people, some of them even from other organizations, you know, think that signing e-petitions is useless and we shouldn't be asking people to sign e-petitions because they think that they've done something when they haven't really done anything. Let me give you a contrary view because it's really important. To have the most signed e-petition in Canadian history actually says a lot because the anti-gunners all the time, they're saying Canadians overwhelmingly want a ban on assault weapons, so-called assault weapons and handguns, right? And they cite these stupid polls. Well, you know what? The CCFR looked into a national poll, and actually we were really close to doing one, although we just couldn't, we had a problem with the questions, because we wanted to, if we're going to spend money on a national poll, we really wanted it to produce something meaningful, not ask stupid leading questions like all of these polls do, so that they get the result that they want, right? And we never did it. But during that process, we learned a lot about national polls. And a lot of these polling companies, they'll say, yeah, we can call people on the phone if you want, but it's going to be tens of thousands of dollars for like 1,000 people. Or, you know what is even better or just as good is we have our online polling, and we have our focus groups and stuff. And it's like, what? These are, how biased are they going to be? They're going to be absolutely biased. So a lot of times when you see these polls where people are saying, yeah, for sure, we need a ban, we absolutely agree, you're talking about focus groups that are actually like a stable of professional voters, you know, professional poll takers that these polling companies have. Anyway, it's not representative. So when it comes to e-petitions, it really comes in handy, because if you look at the anti-gun e-petitions, and I've said this before, the biggest anti-gun e-petition that there ever was 22,000 signatures. I think it was Julie Dzinski's or whatever her name was. You know, she did that one. And what they had done was the Coalition for Gun Control had a sculpture in front of Toronto City Hall. They had they had a full court press of the national media pushing it. They had the Doctors for Protection from Guns pushing it, links on their website. They had bus bench advertising. They had commercials in Cineplex Odeon theaters in Toronto. And all they could come up with, these useless people, all they could come up with was 22,000 signatures. Now, what does that say to you? Like, does that say anything? You know, you couldn't have more than 22,000 people that could exert the effort required to sign an e-petition, even after having spent, God knows what they spent, probably $250,000 doing that, right? So it is really important. So when we come and like the CCFR hasn't even really promoted this other than spread some links around. And I know the other orgs did share it, or at least one of them, which is great. They need to get on board. We all need to work together at some level, for God's sakes. And we're at 86 without a lot of effort. Well, we still got to do a big push on it, which we are, but really the biggest push is made by you guys. So here's what I recommend. Like I said, get your family members to sign it. Get anybody you know to sign it. Force them to, you know, ask them, follow up. Everything in this world runs on follow up. If you know, your buddy said he would do it, next time you talk to him, go, did you sign that petition? Be honest. Well, no, I didn't. Go do it, man. Right now. I'll wait on the phone. Like, you really got to push people to get them to do stuff, because everybody's busy, right? The other thing that is really important is that if you're a member of a gun club, send an email to your gun club president and say, listen, I really need you to put this in the email newsletter 2 or 3 times right away, because the date is coming up. I didn't write it down on my little notes here, but I think it's like second week in February. It's over. So it's coming up quick. So get your gun club to start pushing that out, and make sure that when they send that message out, that they actually have the instructions like, hey, don't forget, there's a confirmation email coming, and make sure that you respond to it, or your vote won't count. So anyway, attention to detail and follow up. That's how you get stuff done. So if we all pull together as a community, make sure all our clubs are doing this, that's the best thing that we can do. Because I would love nothing better than to take an e-petition with 150,000 signatures and personally go hit Bill Blair over the head with it. I'd be like, oh, Canada spoke, hey? Well, you got 22,000 on this side, you got 150,000 on this side, as well as breaking the all-time record. Come on, man. What are you, insane? Plus, all the cops are against you. You know, you're a fraud, which is, I believe that he is. That's my personal opinion as well. Anyway. All right. So some sharp words today. Anyway, I'm in a hurry. That's why I'm trying to bark all this out as quickly as possible. So really important to get that done. Also, get on our mailing list. All right. Now, we've hired, in the last couple of months, we've hired 2.5 people at the CCFR. So we're growing our staff. Because we've got a lot of work to do. We've done a lot of work, completed a bunch of projects recently, which you'll see the benefits of soon. And then also we have our national education campaign and everything else that we need to do. And one thing that you've heard me say time and time again is that we need to do we are miserably failing on the newsletters. Well, now I think we've got that dealt with. We've got a team of people that are responsible to get this done, and we're going to send out a newsletter every week. That's the That's our new goal. So we may skip one here and there. Yeah, you don't hear from us much on email. You hear from us all the time in the podcast and television and social media and at events too. But no, you don't hear from us very often via email, which people have remarked to me. But you're going to look at the bright side. At least we're not spamming you. And I know that there's one organization that sends an email every single day. So while I think that's probably good for fundraising, sending regurgitated news stories every day, I don't know, but I have talked to people that see value in that. So anyway, we're going to try to do that, do a lot better on that. So if you're not getting emails, if you didn't get one in the last 5 or 6 days and you don't get one, I think this Friday or this Monday, make sure that you get on our mailing list. So if you're not a member of the CCFR, that might be a problem. May want to do that. But you can, you also don't have to be a member to get on our mailing list. So go to firearmrights.ca, scroll all the way down to the page, and the form is down there. So make sure you get on our mailing list so you don't miss out. We've got a lot of big announcements coming out and a lot more coming out this year. So, you know, you're going to get that information by getting on that mailing list. All right, next, a membership video. And basically, it's an introduction to the CCFR. Now, that went out yesterday, and that was a link that leaked out a little bit too early. But anyway, if you go to our YouTube channel, if you just go to YouTube, search for CCFR channel, you'll find our introduction of the CCFR video there. And what that video is meant to do is to be a tool for you to spread, to send to everybody you know. If, again, your gun club, send it to the board of directors at your gun club and say, I would really appreciate you guys sending this out in our email newsletter and posting it on our Facebook group or Instagram or whatever it is that they have, Twitter. Okay, spread that around because we're trying to grow the CCFR to the point where we can do things like the National Education Campaign and drop $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. We need to really show our political adversaries that we're a serious group of people and we have resources, and that when they lie about us or propagandize or spread misinformation, that it will be answered to, and that we have the resources to do that. So the education campaign is going to. They've never seen anything like it. So I'm really excited about that. It's a tremendous amount of work. But anyway, the whole point of this video is to spread it around so that we can grow our membership. And if we can grow our membership, that means we can do big projects like that. And the CCFR is a really, really streamlined and frugal organization. We squeeze every bit that we can out of membership dollars. They're actually, to be honest with you, they're sacred to us. So, and that starts from the top and it rolls its way down. So anyway, as a result, as you guys probably know, we don't have an office. Everything that we do is either outsourced or we do it from our homes. So we squeeze a lot of value out of every dollar, and every dollar is spent doing advocacy. I don't even know why I'm saying this. If you're a member of the CCFR, look at our Why Join list. And, you know, I know you already know this stuff, right? But anyway, the point is, we're trying to, this is the biggest membership drive we've ever done. So send that video everywhere you can. Okay, and tell your gun club to share it on your different Facebook groups and all the rest of that stuff. It would be greatly appreciated. Oh, next thing I want to talk about real quick is the Canadian Historical Arms Society, which is, I understand, is a gun club in Northern Alberta. Forgive me if I get some of the details wrong, because I'm just a normal person and my brain can't retain all the stuff that I have to process up there, right? So anyway, Chaz has been a big supporter of the CCFR for a long time, and I can't tell you how meaningful it is when we get clubs like this that actually, they're like stakeholders in the CCFR. You know what I mean? Like they take it upon themselves to make sure that we can do that, we can produce the projects that we do and television shows and you know, original research reports and just all the television commercials, all the stuff that we do. And it's because of people like the guys over at Chaz. So Steve Emblin, I talked to him. He's the president. I talked to him this morning and thanked him for his donation. They donated yesterday to us, to the CCFR, $10,000. And they made a challenge to other clubs to step up and beat them or whatever. That's not something I want to come from me. It's coming from them. But at the same time, I can't really not say it because that was their challenge. Anyway, puts me in a weird spot. But anyway, I can't tell you how meaningful it is, for a club to donate like that to the CCFR. And again, you know, I've talked about large donations that people have made before: Wolverine Supplies, Regina Fish and Game League, you know, Victoria, Fish and Game Club, plus the, oh man, it's a really long acronym. it's like an antique. Oh, you know what? I'm going to find out what their name is exactly, because I don't want to screw it up. But another group on Vancouver Island made a large donation, as well as the Historical Arms Society, HACS, Historical Arms and Collectibles Society. Anyway, the group that runs the Chilliwack Gun Show here in Chilliwack, in Lower Mainland of Vancouver, they made a big donation to us. And it's, you know, these guys have done so much for us, and they're the reason why that we're even having this conversation now. So again, I just can't tell you how appreciative it is. And as I said, with other large donations, you know, it's also a message to me, to say, yeah, you're steering this thing in the right direction, and we like what you're doing. And that's really meaningful, because if we weren't getting support, then I would be wasting my time, and I would just do something else. So anyway, thank you all again for all of your support. I can't express that enough. Next thing, Canada Downrange. I want to talk to you about that real quick. So we're on episode 3, I think. I've seen the episodes already, so I don't keep up to which one we're on that been released on television yet. But I tell you, I watched, I think it was episode 3. It was the episode with the Ontario Provincial something. It's with Gavin Beckery, and it's they call it Op Missile or whatever. It's almost like a two-gun league. And Tyler Girard, I think, is part of that too. No disrespect to anybody. I'm just a normal person. My brain just, I'm not really that smart, honestly. So anyway, it was the episode with those guys in it. And also, what was the other one? It was the IP6 shotgun. That's what it was. And I watched that episode. And I tell you, Corey and Doug and the guys and Mike over there, the name of the company is Double Feed Productions. They've done such a beautiful job on this television show, man. It is every bit as good as anything you'd see on Discovery Channel. In fact, I called Corey up, Corey Levitt, and I told him that the other day. And, you know, I'm sure he gets praised for a lot of things. And I get praised for a lot of things, too. So I'm like, yeah, I really appreciate it, man. But I'm like, no, listen to me. You guys did a phenomenal job. So if you haven't seen the show, you know, check it out if you possibly can. PVR it if you need to. But the other thing I'd say is if you know, it seems like a lot of people in Ontario can't get it because of Rogers for some reason. But if you can't get it, just hang on. It's all going to be online starting this June. So starting this June, every week will be a new episode. So from June, whatever, I can't tell you which day, cause I got to look at our contract with Sportsman Channel, but sometime in June. And then by 13 weeks later, you will have seen all of the episodes there. So, but yeah, don't miss it. It's really great. I'm really proud of it. And the point of that of the show in the first place was just to humanize gun owners. What do real gun owners do? Why do they hold on to their guns? Why are they meaningful to them? Right? And that's the thing that anti-gun people don't get. You know, you get people like Wendy Sukier. It's like, well, get another hobby, you murderer. You know, it's like, well, okay, is it that simple? I don't know. Is it that simple for anybody else that has a lifestyle that's different from yours to just say, well, you know what, find another lifestyle. You know, go love somebody different or go live somewhere else. Like it's a sick, ignorant thing to say, because it's not just a hobby to us at all. So anyway, I think the show really, really hits home what an integral part responsible and for us licensed firearm ownership is in our lives. And that's why we fight these people. And that's why we're saying, unless you can provide me with a mountain of evidence, you're asking for extraordinary things. You should be able to provide extraordinary evidence. And if you can't, get out of my life, man. I don't know what it's going to take. So yeah, the show looks phenomenal, and it really delivers on the promise. It really delivers on what I thought the show should be originally. It took a year and a bit to get there, but it's really nice. So don't miss that. Also, if you have Sportsman Channel, Corey and Doug's show, which is Midlife Mayhem, premiered as well. I think I just watched episode 3. I PVR'd it, but I watched it yesterday. It was pretty good too. The episode before that, I'm in that one. So Corey and Doug actually came to BC. I took them out for training. And I'll tell you, I hope they do a bunch of web content when they get caught up with everything else that they're doing. Because I train them at the range. I train them out in the bush, in the forest in BC. So it's spectacular and super challenging. But then, you know, when we went to the range, I put together a bunch of challenging drills. And, you know, I used to be pretty decent at this stuff at one time, but I'm getting a little old. I've been getting a little fat, a little bit out of shape. But anyway, all that to say, hey, truth hurts, man. And all that to say, I ran the drill and I thought I ran it pretty smoothly because some of those skills, they stay with you, right? And that wasn't on there. I'm like, hey, man, you know, you didn't put me on there, right? Just because I wanted to redeem myself, because of course I look terrible in gear, right? I'm not built like that. So I'm like, at least show me that I could actually shoot a gun. Anyway, so that never got in. Plus, I took them out. I have a boat that's on Harrison Lake. That's in, I have moorage, right? So we have a marina we go to and we can jump on the boat and we can tear ass around on the lake. And the lake is 80 kilometers long and 10, 12 kilometers across. It's enormous. There's 5 islands on the lake. No, there's actually more than 5 islands. But anyway, there's a couple of really big islands that actually have lakes on the islands. So anyway, I took Corey and Doug out for a rip on the boat and they got some great footage. And I'm like, there was no boat footage on that either. And they're like, oh, there's just, apparently 22 minutes of content is really difficult. It doesn't last as long as you think it does, and boom, you're out of time. So I'm hoping that that extra content, we had a lot of other adventures that we filmed. I'm hoping that that will eventually get out as well so you guys can see it. Also, you guys are probably aware that Constable Mark Carver of the Winnipeg Police Department came out and said that a gun ban would be useless and it would be nonsense. And that's another thing and another great victory. And of course, Mark Saunders of the Toronto Police Service, he came out and said, no, you know, the majority of crime guns are not stolen from people. And you had the Canadian Association of Chiefs of Police. They have said categorically they're not in favor of a handgun ban or other bans as well. And it just seems like the walls are closing in on Bill Blair. You know, he's like, oh, law enforcement love it. And it's like, find me one that does. Apparently, it's only the Ontario Chiefs of Police. So I think I maybe need to go visit them and have a debate with them. Maybe they'll be in a position to back up their support for that. But anyway, whatever. So that's it. I'm going to wrap this up right now. I know it's a bit abrupt, but I've got a lot of things to do. I got to get ready to travel tomorrow. So spread that membership video. Become a member if you're not. Donate if you want. Fine. If you don't, that's okay too. Ask your gun club to share that membership video. And make sure you sign that petition. Make sure you sign it right and get other people to sign it. All right. So I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Take care and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.